Good morning. If you haven't already done it, open your Bible to Romans chapter 10. We're going to be there this morning. Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11, and we've been studying, for those who are visiting, we've been studying through the book of Romans, and Romans chapter 9, 10, and 11 are really geared to the Jews, and they're very Jewish in nature, and yet it does speak to the Gentile, especially Romans 11. But what he's trying to get them to see in Romans chapter 9, he's trying to get them to see that God did not break his word to the Jews. God was faithful. The problem is the Jews didn't accept his word. And the Jews went astray, and when the Jews went astray, God used that to bring the Gentile in. Well, in chapter 10, he begins to explain. This is ultimately why people are lost. Jew, Gentile, doesn't matter. Now, he's going to be speaking specifically to the Jew, but this is why people are lost. Look at verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them is for their salvation. Them, Jews, that's who he's speaking with. In the first couple of verses of chapter 9, Paul has this unceasing grief, this sorrow, because these are his kinsmen. The Jews are. They're his fellow kinsmen, and they're lost. And Paul knows it. And so here in chapter 10, verse 1, his desire, his prayer is for their salvation. You know what Paul admits? They're lost. Did you know, brethren, that in order for anyone to be saved, you've got to admit they're lost. You have to admit it. You know, you've got to be honest, and you can't be saying people are okay when you know they violate Scripture. No. We have to be honest. And Paul is honest. Here's my kinsman, my Jewish kinsman. My desire, my prayer to God is for their salvation. Verse 2. For I testify about them that they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge. I'll testify. You know what the Jews have? They have a zeal for God. They were religious, and they were very zealous for what they believed in. But you know what it wasn't in accordance with? But not in accordance with knowledge. Brethren, we need to learn. Religious enthusiasm, religious fervor, and, you know, zeal cannot be a substitute for following truth. Just because people are excited about the Lord, and you know, we ought to be more excited about the Lord, about our salvation. But you look at people out in the world, and some of them are very zealous, and they've got this zeal, and they're serving God, but to have zeal without knowledge of God, there's no value to it. And so you and I, we can't take just sincerity, we can't take just zeal, and think that that's what makes us linked to God. Zeal has to link to knowledge of God. They have to go together. And so Paul understood that they have a zeal, but it's not accordance with knowledge. Verse 3, for not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. Not knowing about God's righteousness. They don't see how God deems righteousness. Now, some versions say disregarded God's righteousness. Yeah, that's what happened to the Jews. And they didn't seek the righteousness based on God. They dealt with a different kind. They sought to establish their own righteousness. And this is why this section is so important. The righteousness that the Jews sought was a righteousness that was based on law. If I performed these certain things, God will give me that because I'm a good person. They want to establish their righteousness. God's righteousness is established in Jesus. And what the Jew did, they've rejected Jesus. And they want to seek to establish their own righteousness. And therefore, he says at the end of verse 3, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. They did not subject themselves. They wouldn't accept it any other way but what they wanted to establish. You know, a lot of times when I study with people, get these opportunities, and you'll sit down and you'll begin going through Scripture, and you'll come to something and they'll say, well, this is what I believe. And you'll show them in Scripture, but this is what God says. They don't like that. They get upset about that. But there's a reason. Because they want to seek to establish their own, and they reject the righteousness of God. And you see it all the time. You know why people are lost? Because they refuse to submit to God's righteousness. And they want it their way. And God's not going to work that out. That's not the way He operates. Verse 4, he continues on and he says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. See, they don't want to subject themselves to God's righteousness. You know what Christ is? Christ is the end of the law of righteousness. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to try to do things that you can't do. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to those who want to believe that Jesus is that end. See, he's wanting them to realize it's not God rejecting. It's their rejecting God's righteousness. Christ is the end. He's the fulfillment. He's where everything culminated in. You know, Galatians 3:24, the Galatian writer, or Paul, tells the Galatian churches, therefore the law became our tutor to lead us to Christ Jesus. You know what the purpose of law, that law of Moses back there, was for? It was to lead people to Jesus. The Jews turned it around and they said, this is our righteousness. We are the people of God. God brought us up through Moses. God gave the Ten Commandments. God gave us His law through Moses. We have all the practices. That's our righteousness. And Paul said, no, God intended the righteousness to end with Jesus, because that's my righteousness. Otherwise, you're working your way to me. You know why you're lost? Because you don't believe the righteousness of God and what He has to say. You know, continue in verse 5. Let's go ahead. For Moses writes that the man who practices the righteousness which is based on law shall live by that righteousness. Here's what Moses said. You want to have a righteousness according to law? You do these certain amount of works and God's going to do this for you? If that's what you want to do, if that's what you want to believe, then that's the standard of righteousness that you get. You see, we've already found out studying the book of Romans, Romans chapter 3, verse 20, that the purpose of law was to show that you're sinful. There's not a one of them in here. There's not one Jew that could ever say that they were right on the basis of following some law, because somewhere in the law they broke it. And so Moses says, if you're going to practice righteousness based on law, then that's the righteousness you'll live by. Therefore, the law's going to condemn you. Is that what you want? See, they don't want to subject themselves to the righteousness of God. Oh, they got a zeal, but it's not in accordance with the things of God. And so he's trying to get them to see it's not based on any law keeping. No, Christ is the end of that. Christ dealt with that. Verse 6. But the righteousness based on faith speaks as follows. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. Righteousness that is based on faith does not do what is impossible. He makes two Old Testament quotes here out of Deuteronomy 30, and he makes these quotes to try to bring home one point. He says that righteousness is based on faith does not do this. Let's go up to heaven and try to bring Jesus down. Let's go down below and let's try to bring Jesus up from the dead. You see, when you try to walk with God, you try to be right with God on the basis of what you do, you're doing something that is impossible because you can't do it. You can't go and bring Jesus. You don't have that kind of power. You don't have the power to raise him from the dead. Righteousness based on faith doesn't try to do things that are impossible. You can't save yourself by keeping a bunch of commandments. Performance doesn't do it. You see, you know why people are lost? Because they don't submit themselves to the righteousness of God. They don't believe in his righteousness. Verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we're preaching. You know what righteousness based on faith says? Righteousness by faith says it's the word that we're paying attention to. And it's the word that Paul and those apostles were teaching. That's what the righteousness of God was based on. It's not based on any law keeping. It's the word of faith that we're preaching. Go back and look at what they preach. And at the end here, I'm going to give you some illustrations of that word that they preached. And when people put their faith in it, they came to the righteousness of God. He says, verse 8 again. But what does it say, the it being righteousness based on faith? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we're preaching. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. There's the righteousness of God. That's what it's based on. It's based on what you confess. It's based on who you believe. Now, I understand, and I want you to remember this. These are the verses that people in the world use how to be saved. He's not talking about coming to salvation. He's talking to Christians at Rome, Jewish Christians, to show that why the Jewish nation is lost. These people in Romans 10 have already been immersed into Christ Jesus through baptism. Romans 6 comes before it. He's already explained all of that. He's not talking about a work system. He's not talking about just confessing and you'll be saved. Verse 10 shows us this. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. What did he mean that you confess with your mouth? What did he mean that you believe in your heart to be saved? He says, the heart, with the heart a person believes. You see that S? That is a continuation. It is not a one act of salvation. With the heart a person believes and they keep on believing. And with the mouth, he confesses and they keep confessing. It's not a one-time act. It's a continuous act, and if these brethren at Rome, if these Jewish brethren are going to continue in the relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, they have to remember what they confess, and they have to keep confessing about the Lordship of Jesus. They need to keep believing about Jesus being raised from the dead, you know, that he is God's righteousness. And don't you go basing it on some system of law. That's what he's comparing here. And that's all he's trying to get people to see. You know why people are lost? Because people don't continue to confess. People no longer continue to believe the righteousness of God through Jesus. And then he continues on, verse 11. For the scriptures say, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. Remember what he's comparing here. He's comparing those who go by law versus those who stand on Jesus. And he makes a quote here out of Isaiah 28:16. The scriptures say, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. Why? Because Jesus will be your standing. Jesus will be your righteousness. Jesus will stand good for you. And it even says so back in that Old Testament scripture. Continue. Verse 12. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on Him. There's no distinction between the Jew and the Greek. Now that's hard for a Jew to hear. You know what Jesus did? I mean, you go through and read Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2, Jesus broke down the barrier between the Jew and the Gentile. He broke that down. The Jew stands over here and they say, we got the law of Moses. We were the chosen ones. You were the old filthy. You were the infidels, you know. The Jew stood apart from them. Paul's used the book of Romans and he says, I want to tell you what, all sin, all fall short of the glory of God. There is no distinction between Jew and Greek. All are in the same need of the same redemption of Christ Jesus. There is no distinction. And so the Lord Jesus Christ makes no distinction whether or not you're a Jew or whether or not you're a Greek, because He is Lord of all. He abounds in riches for all who call on Him, whether or not whatever nationality you are. And that's the word we're preaching. That's the word Paul said we're teaching. And that's the word you better put your faith in. Continue on. Verse 13. He says, for whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. He quotes out of Joel 2. Now, why does he keep doing this? Because he's trying to show from Old Testament scripture, God has this all set up from the very beginning. This isn't new to them. They just don't believe it. And it's all part of who God is. And so for those who call upon the name of the Lord, He's going to break it down and show, how do you call upon the name of the Lord? How are you going to come to this conclusion? How are you going to be able to confess and see the righteousness of God through Jesus? That's where He's driving it through the section, verse 14. How then will they call upon Him in whom they have not believed? And how will they believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? You want to know what it takes to call on the name of the Lord? You want to know what it takes to create a faith that leads to the righteousness of God through Jesus? It takes someone preaching it. This isn't gained by osmosis or rubbing off. It's not gained in some supernatural event that happened out on the creek bank and, you know, a bright light shone around you and boy, you got pulled up. And it doesn't happen like that. And Paul is trying to give proof it doesn't happen that way. They can't believe if they haven't heard. And they've got to hear something preached if they're going to put some faith in it. And they've got to have preachers out there preaching. They have to be sent. And by the way, you know what the name apostle literally means? One sent. Huh. What do you think God did? What do you think Jesus did with those apostles? He grabbed those apostles back in Mark 16:15-16, and He pulled them to Himself. And He said, go into all the world, and you preach a gospel to all creation. Those who believe and are baptized will be saved. Those who disbelieve, they will be condemned. I'm sending you. You are my apostles. And guess what the majority of Jews did? Rejected the teachings. And we come to Acts chapter 2, the very day that the first teachings from the mouth of the apostles, sent from God, and they preached that day to who knows how many, over maybe a million people there at the day of Pentecost that day, and 3,000 respond to that word. They put their faith in the teaching of the Word of God, and they responded. See, faith always responds. And so they responded, and 3,000 were baptized into Jesus. See, they understood what it meant to be baptized into His name, because His name was the end of all righteousness of law. And they found the righteousness of God. And they continued to confess. And they continued to believe that. And then you get over to Acts chapter 8, and there's a fellow we know from Ethiopia in charge of the queen's elaborate treasures. He traveled over 1,000 miles to Jerusalem to worship God. A sincere seeker, a sincere man. You would have to have zeal for God to travel over 1,000 miles to worship, wouldn't you? But he was lost. How can they hear unless something's taught? And how can it be taught without a preacher? And in Acts 8, here comes Philip. And Philip teaches him that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Christ will be your righteousness. And you remember, as they traveled on, he said, here's water. What's hindering me from being baptized? And Philip told him, if you believe in your heart that Jesus is a Christ, you can be baptized. I believe. And he baptized him. And he kept believing. And he kept confessing from that day. And then we get to Acts chapters 10 and 11. Probably one of the best of the Gentiles. When they finally go to him, is a man by the name of Cornelius. And Cornelius was a righteous man. He was a devout man. He was a man that gave alms to the Jewish people. And he prayed to God continually. But he was lost. And he sends for Peter. I'm sending you, Peter, to go get a message over there. Go and preach that gospel. And he sat down with Cornelius and that household. And they said, in chapter 10, verse 32, we're here in the presence of God for you to explain and teach us the word concerning His Son. Teach us. At the end of the teaching and their response, in verse 48, Peter commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus. He's your righteousness. And they did. Then we come on, and we move up to Acts chapter 18, and there's a fellow by the name of Apollos, an eloquent man, a man that was mighty in Scripture. But the problem was, Apollos was lost. He was only acquainted with the baptism of John. He did not know about the righteousness found in Jesus. And Aquila and Priscilla pull him aside, and they have to teach him the way of God more accurately. You see, we have one more great illustration, and that's Paul himself. In Acts 22, Paul is describing his conversion. And Paul was a man that was zealous for God. Paul had a zeal, but he didn't have the knowledge of God, because Paul hated anything and anyone tied to Jesus. And the righteousness of God was based on Jesus. And Ananias sits down with him, and he tells Paul about the Christ being the end of the law for righteousness. And Paul is told to get up and be baptized and call on the name of the Lord. Paul knew that's the moment you call. And he did. And so the point is, you have to have preaching. It has to come through teaching. And that's the way God intended it all. Look at verse 15 again. How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it's being written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. You see, the name gospel itself, and I know many of you know this, it's elementary, but if you don't, the name gospel itself means good news. They were told to go preach the gospel, go preach the good news. You can be saved, but it's not going to be based on anything you've done. It's not going to be based on anything that you think you're good at. It's not going to be based on your goodness at all, that you think I'm a good person. Hey, I don't do anything a lot of wrong. It's not based on that. If you're going to base it on a law, then you're going to live by the righteousness of that law. But it has to be based on the death of Jesus. And that's what it's all based on. Faith in the death of Jesus. And he says in verse 16, however, they did not all heed the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? He quotes out of Isaiah 53:1. They didn't believe the good news. Oh, you can't be saved that way. The apostles preached it. The Jews didn't believe it. And today, people still don't believe it. But brethren, we've got to keep preaching it. We've got to keep teaching it. In fact, we've got to make sure that every single one of us sitting here in Christ this morning, we got to make sure that the righteousness that we profess is based solely on the death of Jesus and not ourselves. That's what we have. And so he concludes, verse 17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. You can't believe it your way or from some other source and call it faith. Faith comes from hearing. Then you need to hear the right things. What is it? Hearing by the word of Christ. The only way you can I know for certain is through Jesus and Him alone. We have to listen to God. You leave out the good news. You leave the Christ kind of as a sideshow, and you start basing everything on the way you do it, you're gonna forfeit your righteousness. You're going to forfeit salvation. And you'll forfeit your soul. Christ is the end. God can accept me because my confessions, my beliefs continue in the Lordship of Jesus, and so must yours. That's where we stand. Why are people lost? Because they think it's merited by the good things that they do, and it is not. I don't want to be among the lost, do you? This morning, if you've not been baptized into the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, you're still on the outside looking in. That's the message the apostles taught. If you've been baptized into Jesus for forgiveness of your sins into His name, and you've fallen away, you need to come back to the righteousness of God so He can bestow that upon you if you'll confess and repent of your sins.